Thank you very much. So, again, welcome to 307 Net Radio's General Election Candidate Forum. We're focusing on the last of our forum this evening, and this one is for the Johnson County School District Board. So thank you again to Johnson County Library for so graciously hosting this, Erin Palmer for tech skills to make the audio possible for you, and Marcy Schuler for moderating and asking the questions. Most of all, thank you, candidates, for being prepared to put yourself in the hot seat. Some details about the forum again. Candidates will have equal time to answer questions. None of you have had the questions in advance. And at the end of the question period, there will be a time for candidates to offer a rebuttal or an additional comment, and also to make closing comments or remarks. And then I would like to open the floor up again for a brief period of public question from the audience. So, to get us started, there are five candidates running for four seats. They will join on the board: Randy Brown, Lynette Fox, Jan Johnson, Kristin Ledoux, and Jody Verplanky, and they were in alphabetical order. The spellers amongst us would have noticed that. The candidates tonight are Anita Bartlett, Dave Bellis, Marcia Goddard, Travis Pearson, and Casey Rodriguez. Paul Rickett is also standing for this seat, but he is out of town and unable to join this evening. Kisa Knudsvik Andrews withdrew earlier this week, and I would like to read her written statement if I can find it, but I cannot. So I'm going to just briefly summarise. Kisa works for Davis and Cannon, which has recently confirmed, which is a firm of attorneys from Sheridan, which has recently merged with Curvin and Curvin. Curvin and Curvin are already contracted to the school district, and she feels that this could potentially be a conflict of interest, and she considered this carefully and has decided to withdraw. So if you see her name on the ballot, it may be there because her withdrawal is fairly late in the day. So that is why Kisa is not with us tonight. So with that, I would like to pass over to Marcy, and we'll get going with our questions.
Well, good evening, candidates. I've been in your seat. The hot seat. So we're going to start our questioning tonight, and I'm going to start the first round of questions, and hopefully the last will be alphabetical, and we'll go mix it up in between, so each person has a chance to be first and last. Each question, you'll have 2 minutes, and I'm going to say the question the first time, and then if you want me to repeat it, please ask me, but instead of me repeating the question each time down the line. So question number one, our first candidate will be Anita Bartlett. What previous qualifications or experience do you have that would benefit this position?
Well, I've never served on a school board, but for the last 16 and a half years, I've worked for a special district. I worked for the Powder River Conservation District. And through that, we're required to be certified as employees. So I know a considerable amount of special district law, public records, Public Officials Acts, Record Archiving Requirements, Administrative Procedure Acts, those that are all governed through special districts. The other thing, since I was in high school, served as parliamentarian for the FFA in college, and I think parliament procedure is something that lacks in all of our special districts. Along with that, I have spent the last 17 years in and out of the KC School District. I started as a substitute teacher when I moved to KC, and then through my job, I do a considerable amount of egg in the classroom. And so I know the youth of our community. I know the teachers. And I think if you don't have that relationship with the youth and the community and your staff, it's hard to make policies and decisions that are good for them. And so I guess those are what I qualify as my qualifications.
Great. Thank you, Anita Bartlett. Our next candidate is Dave Bellis.
Okay. So I think what makes me qualified, Marcy, and thank you for serving for 12 years, if I recall.
16.
Correct. 16. I'm sorry. So I think what makes me qualified is I'm a resident, lifetime resident of Johnson County, a business owner. I've served on the school board for 8 years. I always put the kids' best interests at heart. I've had two of my kids go through from kindergarten through 12th grade. I attend meetings on a regular basis, and I darn sure read the statutes and policy.
Okay, thank you, Dave Bellis. Our next candidate is Marcia Goddard.
So my qualifications, I have been a nurse for since 2003. I spent most of my time in the emergency room, so I feel like I'm a very flexible person, a lot of teamwork, so those are very important skills to bring to a board and leadership that way. I have been a part of, right now I guess I'm on the Johnson County Cattle Women's, I'm the vice president of that board, and then our booster club, the Swim Booster Club, I'm a member of that as well, and I'm a parent. And all three of my students and my kids are in school full time now, and I think I have enough time. I love this community so much, and I'm an outsider. I came from South Dakota, and I married my husband, and we moved home as soon as we can. And I wasn't happy about that at first, and I can't believe why, because this place is amazing. So I just want to give back. I feel like that's really important, and I also, as a nurse, I guess I have substituted in the schools, so I've been in the schools some. I know the kids. I know the teachers. I would be very excited to serve.
Okay, thank you. That's Marcia Goddard. Our next candidate is Travis Pearson.
Thank you. My profession is land surveyor. One of the oddities about that profession is you've got to work as hard to protect the rights of the person next to your client as you do for the client. So I spent my professional life learning how to hear both sides of a problem, understand all the evidence I can gather, and then making decisions to protect everybody's bona fide rights equally. So that's a little bit professional background, and I think I can bring that same approach to issues at the school board and hopefully help make some of those things smooth out. I spent a couple of years as an associate professor at Trinidad State Junior College, which is my old alma mater. So I've been in the classroom trying to make complicated engineering problems understandable to youth, and that's something I enjoyed and had a lot of fun with. So I've been in the classroom, done some of that, and have a feel for that a little bit. And then I've chaired the Johnson County Planning Commission since 2018. I joined it in 2014. We've had, you know, a fair number of subdivisions and a lot of contentious issues come through where people were excited to have, you know, 20 new houses going in on their rural county road. So I had to deal with some pretty tough public discussions and some issues like that. So those things are my qualifications. I'm a land surveyor engineer type. I like to solve problems. I like to work at it to make things work.
Okay, thank you. That's Travis Pearson. Our final candidate for tonight is Casey Rodriguez.
I would like to say that I do feel like I'm qualified to be on this board in the aspect that I spend a lot of time participating in service events and programs that involve the children and the parents in our community and schools. I'm currently a board member for the Compass Center for Families, and I'm also an active court-appointed child advocate. Here in Johnson County, I've been doing that for about 7 years. I've served on other boards, and I currently work for a 5-member board right now. I have experience with fiscal budgeting, and I really feel like I can bring things to the table as a parent that will help contribute positively when we're collaborating as a team. To work with the board members that are there now and our superintendent. I have 3 children in school now who are all very involved in both academic and extracurricular activities and programs that are offered by our district. And it's given me a front row seat to the need, the importance, and the necessity in being a voice in providing quality education for our kids.
Okay, thank you. That's Casey Rodriguez. Okay, question number 2, and we'll start with Dave Bellis. You have 2 minutes. Do you have a specific reason for running at this time?
My reason for running is I just want the kids of Johnson County to get the best education they can. I want to make sure that we hire quality employees. I want to make sure that it's a happy workplace and that they're paid adequately. And so those are my reasons. And whether you go and get a degree or whether you go to a trade school, I want to make sure that you are successful in life. I want all the kids in Johnson County to be successful.
Great. Thank you. That's Dave Bellis. Casey Rodriguez.
Will you repeat the question?
Do you have a specific reason for running at this time?
My reason really is just the foundation of my reason for running is that I am growing and graduating 3 children through our public school system. And so I have very personal interest in the preservation, the improvement, and I'm committed to being a part of the quality of the education that we're offering every student in our district.
Okay, thank you. And Travis Pearson.
Well, like many of the people up here, I've got 2 real good reasons to run for school board. One's in second grade and one's in fourth. So I have a vested interest personally, too, to make sure that we continue to enjoy fabulous schools. And part of the reason I want to run is because our school districts have real great success here. It was why we live in Johnson County instead of Sheridan County, because we looked at both schools and said, no, this is the right place. So that's something I want to protect, preserve, and build on. We've done a great job. We have fabulous teachers, and keeping them happy and engaged, helping them grow and learn is, I think, vital. If the school's not happy, the whole town isn't happy. So that's why I want to run.
Thank you. Marcia Goddard.
Well, again, 3 children in the system now. And like everyone, we're building our future, and I want to see all of these students be successful. And like Dave said, that's not necessarily going to college to everyone. And I think these kids need to understand that is okay. And there's lots of options out there. But we need to be supporting them, and we need to support our teachers. And we just have to have this great bond, communication, teamwork, transparency to be one team working together. And I also feel like it's important that we're bringing this to the community and listening to our other parents, listening to the community, bringing it here to make those tough decisions that we need to. So we're serving not only our children, but we have to think of our parents and the whole picture.
Thank you. And that brings us to Anita Bartlett.
So I'm a little different. I don't have children. I've never put children through the KC or Buffalo school system. However, in KC, they're all my kids. A lot of them will call me Auntie Anita. I see them sometimes more often a week than I think their parents do. But the community in KC is my family. I don't have a family that lives in Wyoming. And for me, seeing them educated and supported, because the school is the heart of our communities. And there is nothing I want more than to advocate for children in a way that I didn't have an advocate when I was growing up. And so that has been my goal and purpose in life, is to be there and be a role model for kids. And I finally have the time to run for a special district. I'm super involved in my community. And I set some stuff aside and prioritized so I could run for a special district, and the school board seemed to be the fit because the kids are who I relate to and who I spend time with. So I just want to give back to my community in that way.
Thank you. Question number 3, 2 minutes, and we'll start with Marcia Goddard. A school board is responsible for seeing that the schools are well run, but a school board does not run the schools. How do you accomplish that?
Well, I think, again, there has to be this transparency between everyone. But I think it's important that we have a great leader in that. I think you have to look towards our superintendent, and we have to work together, and we have to have teamwork. And you're right, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be tough decisions. There's going to be difficulties, but we have to, at the end of the day, look and see what's really, truly important, and that's the children. And we have to be there for them and work together that way.
Thank you. Travis Pearson.
Well, I think that we started off right on it. We've got a superintendent now that's doing great things, and we've got to really make sure there's open communication and trust between the super and the board so that we can offer guidance and help, but let him actually go out and run the show. I think it's critical that we come up with real distinct expectations and things that we prioritize correctly, communicate that real clearly, and make sure that we can help all of the students succeed by giving distinct and trackable goals and objectives for our super, so we can monitor progress, track how we're gaining, and make adjustments as needed. So that's my take.
Thank you. Dave Bellis.
Okay. So, Marcy, repeat the question real quick.
A school board is responsible for seeing that the schools are well run, but the school board does not run the schools. How do you accomplish that?
Okay. So much the same as those guys have said, is a school board member should be looking at the mission and vision of the school. And so they're going to be at 30,000 feet. It's not the day-to-day activities. And you need to be watching what, if you will, watching and helping your superintendent to accomplish the goals you have, just like we had white top testing come out. You need to look at that testing and how can we improve and what should we do to improve that. And you're going to take the what your principals are saying, and you should take that into consideration and then make your decisions based from there. So, you know, it's all about collaboration.
Thank you. Anita Bartlett.
I think echoing what the others have said, first of all, is making sure that our superintendent is equipped with the resources and tools that he needs. And with that filtering down, making sure our teachers, our staff, every employee from the custodians to the groundkeepers have what they need to facilitate a functioning school. And you do that through great teamwork with your superintendent. And I agree. I think Mr. Ofke has done a wonderful job stepping up and taking care of some of that stuff that's been lax in a few years. Right.
Thank you. And Casey Rodriguez.
Gosh, this is terrible. I am mirroring a lot of what everyone else is saying.
You'll get your chance to be first.
No. But I do agree with setting very clear expectations for our superintendent and providing the tools he needs to be a good leader. Giving him the space to be a good leader and to be able to help his team and staff build the cultures in the buildings that our kids are going to flourish in.
Okay, thank you. Question number four. 2 minutes again. So we'll start with Travis Pearson. Okay. Schools are expected to deliver much more than classroom education. What would be your focus and priorities?
Well, while much more is expected, I think it really takes, it's important that we focus on the classroom and the education. I've read terrible numbers about school districts with kids not being able to read and write at grade level or do math at that level. So first things first, let's secure that step. But in addition, we spend a lot of time and effort in the extracurriculars, the sports programs are particularly fun and popular. So there's a lot of that, but I also like the drama clubs. I don't think I've missed a play since I moved here. It's real fun to go see all those kids put in that effort and get those rewards. So we can do all the things, but I think we need to be very careful and prioritize which is most important, and let's make sure that we're learning what we need to first, and then we can do the extracurriculars.
Thank you. Casey Rodriguez.
I'd kind of like to extend off of what Mr. Pearson has elaborated on, and also just I kind of explained too that all of those are very important. All the programs are important in our district. However, if we need to find a happy balance where we're prioritizing the educational pieces first, and you know, if a child wants to excel academically but also extracurricularly, that is supported from all aspects, the teachers, the coaches. It needs to be well-rounded. I think we will see our students succeed more when there's expectation for them and our staff and teachers providing those activities for our kids.
Thank you. Anita Bartlett.
I would echo that, but I would also go as far to say we do need to focus on, you know, the reading, writing, math, those things. But I know high school students, and they're in school not because they want to be, but because they have to be. But if you allow them to excel in FFA,
or sports or music or arts. We cannot forget those. That's what keeps their grades up and learning in those other activities so that they can be students. Because, yes, they're students first, but you got to give them some incentive. I know we have kids that go just so they can be in four shop classes the rest of the day, but they make sure they keep their grades up in the other ones. And so while reading, math, all of those are so important, so are those other classes that we offer, as well as the sports, because not every kid is an A student, but they are good at something.
Good, thank you. Marcia Goddard.
Again, Casey, this is hard when you follow everybody, right? But I definitely would echo what Anita said, that not every student is going to excel academically. Not every student is going to be a star athlete. And there has to be more that's keeping these kids excited about school, wanting to come back, or at least being there to get be well-rounded so they can be a successful person when they're finished with their education. You know, and success is defined so many ways, and it doesn't have to be going into a certain profession. Like, but I do think we need to make sure everyone's well-rounded in that way, that they have more opportunities than just football or academic. I mean, we just have to be there for the students and support them as best as we can.
Thank you. And Dave Bellis.
So I believe in the core subjects, and I think that's where you have to concentrate. I think that the extracurricular activities are wonderful. They help build teamwork, friendships. Look at the number of kids, and we can all go back to the schools that we went to and talk about who we thought our best teachers were. So it's important to have those teachers that want to develop those relationships. Kids will develop relationships that will last a lifetime. And so, yes, there is more to the than just academics at the school. And I'm going to say it again about the trade schools. They are so important for a lot of these kids, because that's probably the future of a lot of them.
Okay, thank you. All right. Question number 5, and we're going to start with Casey Rodriguez.
Yay!
Tough economic times require tough decisions. What do you consider are the essential elements of a strong local education system?
Elements that I feel are strong in our education system is opportunity. And sometimes that doesn't look the same for every kid, or even you sitting next to me. I think, oh my gosh, I don't know. Offering what we can to our kids that will allow them to succeed in the best ways that also fit them is a really strong value. I also feel that applying skills, teaching our kids morals and value in the school education system is super important.
Okay, thank you. Dave Bellis.
Okay, I'm going to have you repeat the question.
I was just going to ask if you wanted me to. Tough economic times require tough decisions. What do you consider are the essential elements of a strong local education system?
Well, the essential ones are to have the correct staff on board. And, you know, when the money starts running short, we're going to have to look at, what do we have to cut? And we had those tough conversations when Dr. Chase was here, and we had to have community meetings. So we really have to watch the fiscal financial part of the school. And like I say, we may have to cut some of those activities. The funding that we've got through the ESSER funds is going to run out in 2026. So those are real issues that are coming. But we want to make sure that we have the best staff possible. And we may have to look at, do you want to have 25 kids per classroom and have a better teacher, or are you better off to have 16 kids per class and have two teachers that maybe just got out of college? And I'm not saying they're bad teachers, but they don't have the experience. So those are the tough decisions that a school board has to make, along with a superintendent.
Thank you. And Travis Pearson.
Well, that's a situation where I think we need to definitely study and spend where we can get the most bang for our buck, so to speak, where we can mark these kids and see what programs are producing the most results, where are we having great success. And those are the ones that we need to focus on protecting. But the people make the school, and Dave said this exactly right. The teachers are our most critical resource. That's what's going to make these kids go through and love it and learn, or just suffer through till they can escape. So the teachers are going to be, in my mind, the biggest priority to keep good staff on board and happy working here.
Anita Bartlett.
I would agree with staff. I think that's one of the most important things. Without quality teachers, you can't have quality education. But I would follow that with, we need upkept facilities. I think doing less with more has become everyone's kind of motto lately. But we cannot let the school facilities slip. And not just the facilities of the school buildings, but the maintenance buildings, the bus barns. Those things have to be kept up, because if they're not, you can't have kids in them.
Okay, thank you. And Marcia Goddard.
So, again, with tough financial decisions when you have to make that, I do agree with you guys on the teachers are very important. But those are going to be really hard things to decide. How do you spend those funds that you're getting? And personally, running our ranch at home and doing that, you know, there are hard times. And sometimes you have to say, we're going to have to put this off and focus on this for now. And that's not going to make everyone happy. So that it's going to be very difficult. But I feel like I'm up for the challenge, with that said. But teachers are a priority, and we'll keep going from there.
Thank you. Okay, question number six. This starts with Anita Bartlett. Okay, what will you do to ensure the school board positively impacts student achievement?
I think the big thing is talking to the kids. Sometimes they have needs that they don't verbalize in schools. I think if you have a good relationship with the kids, you know what they need. Also with the teachers. Maybe there's something lacking in a classroom that a teacher needs that we just don't realize, that there's some way to go around that. I think sometimes thinking outside the box, but most importantly, to impact education, you have to talk to the people who are doing it and who are getting something from it, which is the kids. And I think sometimes we forget the kids' voice. So I think that is the big thing, is to listen to them.
Thank you. And Marcia Goddard.
So I think there needs to be an open communication to make that successful between us and the community, the parents, the students, and letting them know we're listening to their needs, and then coming back and saying, this is what we decided and this is why, and not being this closed off place, you know, letting them know, hey, these are the decisions we made and they weren't easy and maybe you didn't like that, but this is what we thought and that's okay.
Okay, and Casey Rodriguez.
I definitely would agree with the open communication, and it needs to come from every aspect, the students, the parents, the teachers, and our community. I'm involved with other resource agencies that include the children in our community, and a lot of times those resource agencies can also bring what we need into the schools. And I think it's really important to be able to have a good communication line with them as well, so that we can get to all the needs of the students in our district.
Okay, and Travis Pearson.
This is a good one. I think maybe the best thing that we can do is, by being open and easily visible, easily to communicate, step up and visit with your community, take the concerns of our local citizens, and then enunciate those, make them clear so we can put objectives in front of our super. But we got to make sure that the super is going to get the support and the help he needs to do a great job. But I think one of the prime things we can do is go out and talk to all the different stakeholders, whether it's parents, teachers, or employers needing, you know, specific classes taught because they're trying to hire help. We need to get those things out in front of, get in front of those issues, and try to then set real actable goals to help produce that for the whole community.
Okay, thank you. And Dave Bellis.
So I believe that we need to have communication with the students. You need to know what they feel, what they're seeing in the classrooms. We work for our community, meaning the parents and the taxpayers, so we need to listen to those. And as an example, one of the things that we recently did, Mr. Ostheimer, on the ACT test, we wanted to get our test scores a little bit better. So he now is having the, and I hope I don't get corrected on this, but I believe the freshmen now are starting to take the ACT test, the sophomores, and so they're better prepared for that. And you say, well, testing isn't everything. Well, it keeps the opportunities open. So when you have a higher test score, maybe you get to go to the college of your choice, where if you don't, you don't get to go there. So, like I say, things of that nature, I think, as a school board member, we need to look at what we're doing there. So,
thank you. Okay, question 7. This will start with Dave Bellis. Are there specific actions or proposals by the current school board with which you either agree or disagree?
Well, the actions that we've done that I agreed with are we kept the schools open through COVID, and that was essential. You know, the teachers stepped up, they taught virtually, so that was a huge plus. I think that our staff is doing a wonderful job now. One of the things that maybe I didn't disagree with, and I don't want to be a fun hater here, but we passed a budget that wasn't with our guaranteed funding. We passed it by borrowing some money from the school in our savings, and we had Mr. Kinski talk to us in February, and he told us, he said, the money is going to dry up, guys. We changed it from being able to save 15% to 30%. And so I hope we can get to that and we can go back to having a large savings for a rainy day, because I believe in saving for a rainy day.
Okay. Travis Pearson.
Can I get you to repeat the question, please?
Yes. Are there specific actions or proposals by the current school board with which you either agree or disagree?
Oh, there's been some actions taken to improve physical security in the buildings. I know they've brought in some consultants and done some work to really work on securing these schools and making sure that they're safe indoors, and that I was real proud to see. I think that was an excellent decision, and everybody did good making that go on. The other one was there's been some good attention paid to the boilers in the different schools. I understand that we've got rooms in some of the buildings where you need to wear a parka to survive your class, and that's a tough situation to learn anything when you're shivering and chattering teeth. So I thought the board has done good getting the priorities up the list for the boilers in the buildings and the maintenance. I think they're handling that well, too.
Okay, thank you. Anita Bartlett.
There's a couple that I don't know enough about school board business to say I disagree with anything, because I don't have the research and knowledge that they had when they made those decisions. However, there are a couple things I've really been impressed with. First and foremost, the hiring of Superintendent Oski. I am so impressed for the heart that he has for all of our schools, especially KC. I also agree, I'm impressed with the new visitors management system. However, I gotta get better at remembering my ID. it's on my to-do list to get better at that. I'm amazed by the safety of it. If you forget to check out, it will text you and ask you if you're still in the school. So I really have enjoyed that. And the other one is, yes, Casey is one of those that has a boiler and fire suppression issue, and the school board worked wonders to get on that and get it taken care of. The boiler, however, is still in the process of being replaced, but they have done mitigation to keep those rooms warm, and I'm just impressed with how they've handled that situation.
Thank you. Marcia Goddard.
So I don't have much for, you know, negative things to say about them. I do agree with Dave on the budget is going to be a really tough issue that's coming up, and I like to think of myself as a saver as well, and if it's broke, we need to fix it. You know, kids obviously can't learn when rooms are falling down and apart, but there are other places where we're going to have to look and say we can't afford to spend on silly things at this time. And what do we really need to make kids successful? Is this something? Is it a want or is it a need? So that would be my only suggestion.
Okay, thank you. And Casey Rodriguez.
Nothing super specific comes to my mind. I would agree with most everyone on the panel.
I've been super impressed with the things that the board and Mr. Oski have put efforts into. I mostly am just delighted that we have a superintendent that is really dedicating as much time and effort that he is to the children and the students of Johnson County. So I don't have a lot to speak to, but.
Okay, and we're to our last question before rebuttals and your closing statement. And we'll start with Travis Pearson. Consider the end of your term in office. What do you hope will have been accomplished during your time?
Well, I'd like to see us grow our partnership with Sheridan College. I think we've had some really neat success stories of kids graduating with an associate's or very close to an associate's just straight out of high school, which is a fabulous program that benefits a lot of people. I'd really like to see some growth in the trade school trainings because so many companies right now are so desperate for help immediately. It's not necessary that every kid go to college. I spend a ton of money there. And was it all worth it? Maybe, maybe not. You know. So anyway, I feel like we can focus a lot harder on getting our students as ready to go to work, job shovel ready, as they like to say on TV. But let's get them as trained up and ready to go out into the community now and go to work helpful, productive people quickly. And then the last one I'd like to see us growing into and hopefully better at would be teaching community service values. I mean, one of the things that makes small towns so great to live in is we take care of each other. I mean, our Lions Club buys glasses. We need volunteers. We need people willing to get busy in this community and help each other pick up the bar. So I'd like to see us working and growing, getting this next generation more interested in community service and teaching them the rewards. There's some fantabulous things that happen when you get involved and try to help, and teaching those guys that joy. When your heart lights up because you just made somebody's Christmas, it's a whole different game. So I want to teach, increase our ability to get kids active and involved in the community early.
Hey, thank you. Marcia Goddard.
So at the end, I would hope that we would see a community that's actually very happy with our board and happy with the decisions that we've made and that our schools are continuing to get better. We shouldn't just say, oh, we're doing great graduating this much. We should always try to succeed and get better, to make the better best, the 4-H way. So I definitely agree that trade schools are so important and that kids need to know there's so many options out there and it's not always just going to college and being ready. And I hope that these children, when they decide I'm going to do this, they want to come back to this town and they want to say, I loved it here. I want my kids to go to that school. That would be amazing.
Great. Anita Bartlett.
I can't say I have any specific accomplishments or agenda that I'd hope to have done, but I want to further the education of our youth, improve their quality of life, always think in their best interest, and make sure they're ready for whatever the next chapter of their life is, whether it's college, trade school, entering into the workforce. And whatever that is, just give them the tools to succeed at.
Okay, thank you. Dave Bellis.
So I hope at the end of my term is that the kids will come back and say, I got a great education from Buffalo High School, all the schools within, not just Buffalo High School, but Johns County School District, and that they want to come back and they want to work here and they're successful. I'd like to see right now we have about a third of the kids that are on a free and reduced lunch program. I hope that as we improve their education, they get better and we see the gains everywhere that we're looking for.
Thank you. And Casey Rodriguez.
At the end, I really am just hopeful that the members of our community see that the board is really putting all of the thought and all the respect into making decisions to provide quality public education for our kids, opportunity for students that are, you know, going on to college, those that are not, and just know that this public service in our board is going to be passed down through all of our staff and filtrating into our kids so that they leave our school district knowing and feeling like they can be part of public service.
Thank you. You have heard your opponents speak. If there are any specific points you would like to address or remark upon, this is your opportunity to do so. Please be specific, and we'll move on then after that to your closing statements. So we'll just go down the line. Anita, do you have anything you want to speak to that your opponents spoke about?
Don't have any rebuttal to anything anyone said.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I don't have a rebuttal. I think everybody here is on the same page. Everybody is up here for the benefit of kids, and that's why you should be on a school board.
Marcia Goddard?
I don't have anything further.
Okay. Travis Pearson?
No rebuttal. Sounds like everybody up here wants to get on a successful school board and do the best we can for our community, so nothing
great
to rebut.
Love to hear that. Casey Rodriguez?
I have no rebuttals.
Great. All right. Closing statements. We'll go in the same order, the alphabetical order. Tell us why somebody should vote for you, Anita Bartlett.
I guess I would hope that people would vote for me because they truly know that I want to be an advocate for their kids. And that Johnson County is my home. I've made it my home. I am not a born and raised Wyomingite. I moved here from Nebraska after I graduated from college. And I've made Casey my home, and I've worked my hardest to make it a better community. And I just hope that people realize that I only have the interest of my community and its kids at its best interest, and that they think that I would do a good job.
Thank you. Dave Bellis.
So as a lifetime member of the community, I have this community and the kids' best interest at heart. I believe my kids will stay here, they'll grow up here, and so that's why I want the schools to be the best that they can be.
Marcia Goddard.
Well, again, like I said before, I really do love this community. We live in such a great place. I consider myself, my husband, I tell him all the time I'm a lady of the people because I love people. I want to serve this community. I want to see our schools thrive. And I hope that my children come back here just because they've had such a great time and a great experience at our schools, and they'll continue to be successful that way.
Travis Pearson.
Well, I'm easy to find. I'm easy to chat with. A pretty open guy, and it's not hard to spot me in a crowd. So it should be a good line of communication to most of the community. My problem-solving background, the ability to gather data, sort through it, and design solutions, engineer ways to control situations, those things are, I think, a benefit that I can bring to our school board and hopefully help us solve some of issues in the future. So public service is kind of my gig. I like the Lions Club. I like the Planning Commission. I like to help people in my community. That's why I'm running.
Thank you. Casey Rodriguez.
I would hope that people would vote for me because a lot of you that are in this room, I see your faces at all of the events that I'm involved in, my children are involved in, and things that are important to me, my kids, and a lot of community members that build our community and make it what it is. I am dedicated to putting in the time to growing our education programs, the children involved in them, and I just will work really hard to improve the quality of education that we can offer in Johnson County.
Thank you, everyone. Now it's time to turn the mic over to Kate Harness for closing or for public question.
Thank you, candidates, for sharing your opinions, your views, your priorities, and so on. It's been very interesting listening to you. You all have different personalities, but the collaborative nature of all of you shines through, I think, in your comments. So thank you. Are there any questions from the community? Yes.
It's just me. On the news, you hear a lot about the CRT, and I was wondering what the members think about that. I mean, with parents having to go and fight with the school board to have the teachers not preach CRT to the kids.
Okay, by CRT, you mean?
Critical race theory.
Thank you very much. Critical race theory. So you would like to address that to each candidate on the board of what their opinion is about critical race theory and how it would apply?
Because I think it's a very important subject. I mean, when you're teaching the kids to hate their other kid because they're a different race or a different whatever, I think it's terrible. And I don't want it to come into our school district.
Would anybody like to address critical race theory as in regard to their position as a school board member?
I
So I'm okay with them teaching history, and that's what it's about. It's about history. It's not about how the blacks were mistreated or anything else. It's history. And so I don't want to see CRT come, but I want to teach history, and the statues and stuff that they're tearing down, I personally think are wrong to do that, because that is part of our history. So.
But when you say that, well, I don't like you because what you've got right here. And I know it.
I'll go.
Yeah. Mr. Oskey, would you be able to address critical race theory and how it would apply to the school board? What purview or what interest the school board would have?
Critical race theory is not in our standards or our curriculum. So social media is putting a lot of things into play. I'm not up for election, but I'm just telling you, there's a process of what we go through to adopt curriculum. Are we going to get better at it? Absolutely. But our focus is teaching to the standards, how we teach the standards, what standards we do teach in that process. There's a lot of conversation, and I'll have this conversation with you on a side note, because I don't want to take away from their platform, but we got critical race theory, we've got SEL, there's lots of things out there socially that are being pursued that are in our schools. But I'll tell you what, our job is to teach to the standards, teach to what we're expected. We're talking about our vocational kids, we talk about kids that are bound for college, ACT, our WOWN assessment, it's our blueprints that we align to. There's just a lot of things to that. So that critical race theory is not a curriculum that's adopted by this district, nor by the state of Wyoming. We're responsible for the standards that are adopted by the state. That's a quick summary.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the clarification. Let's move on. Another question. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I want to ask Marcia's daughter, but I'm willing to ask anybody who has an opinion. If a parent comes to you as a school board member, they've already talked to the teacher and the principal and the superintendent, and they come to you with a complaint, say, about something that's being taught in the classroom, and it's clear to you that they are incredibly misinformed and undereducated about a particular topic, how would you identify?
That the parent is uninformed? Or, okay. So I think personally I would ask that parent if they can bring me what they're talking about first. Show me specifically what's being taught. Give me an example before I, you know, can go on and talk to other people about this and take it for truth. I'm not saying that it's not true, but I do think we need to be informed and not just listen to one side of a story and then take that information to these teachers that maybe be that are involved in this or the superintendent and get both sides to really understand what is happening here. But I think concrete evidence needs to play in that.
Would any other candidates like an opportunity to answer that same question?
Well, Greg, the first thing I think is I'd be proud that the parent went through the proper chain of command. And then it goes, you said they went to the superintendent. From the superintendent, if it's not resolved, then it comes back to the board. And so if it's not a personnel issue, then we would have a work session to discuss what is being taught or what their problem is, work through it on a work session, and get everybody's viewpoint. So that's how I would hope that it would happen.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I do think that the call on chain of command is correct, but I also think it's real important to, if you've got a background and you understand some of this stuff, trying to communicate verbally with these people, explaining some of what the misbelief or misunderstanding that's causing the issue could be, is a great way to start. There's once again, real clear, open communication, talking to the public and getting out there visiting with them. A lot of these issues can be ironed out by just taking the time to explain what's really going on. So.
Thank you. Any other questions from the audience? Yes.
As the board sees the fiscal budget shrinking possibly, and you're talking about the possibility of academic or extracurriculars going away, how would the board decide which one of those or, you know, how to cut those areas?
So the question is, again, in tough times, tough financial decisions, cuts, sometimes need to be made? How would you decide where, which and how activities would need to be cut, or anything else for that matter?
Well, the greatest good for the greatest number has got to be your starting point in that situation. We're going to have to see which programs are benefiting the most children and which are getting the best results. That's got to be a start-off point. I mean, there's always room to look hard and decide which programs we can't live without and which ones we can. So, again, the needs versus wants brought up earlier is a baseline.
I think with that, though, sometimes the greatest benefit to the most students isn't realistic. If you look at a school like KC, there may be four kids in a class, but it's highly beneficial to their education. I think you have to look at, where's the fat in the budget? What can we cut? What is not needed? It might be that art class for four kids that needs to stay, and it's something else that needs to go. And I think it comes down to assessing each and every line item and maybe taking a little here and a little there versus just cutting something out.
I would also add to that that maybe you need to look at what are these things, what's the use for the future of this? Is this going to help them be a better successful person, well-rounded, you know, for their future, or is it just something we really don't need? You know, I think you need to look at those things. Is this providing a skill that can be helpful in life, or is this just a fluff class that we, I don't know, we could maybe cut out of there, or an activity like that?
So I think you have to look at the budget, see what you have. Where are your, and we have something like that going on right now. So we have a, they developed a committee to look at the activities. It's not just sports, but all activities, because we're about $650,000 over the funding model, and I said funding model, that the state gives us, which is about 200% of where we should be. So they're looking to see what might be wasteful and what isn't, and then I'm going to agree with Anita that we then, if, and you should always listen to your community, and we had community meetings before to see what the community felt where we should cut, and is what we did is we combined some classes and had one teacher teach them. So to go through line by line, we'll make it.
Any more questions? Yes.
Well, I have a couple of questions that kind of on top of what you said. I taught for 27 years here.
And thank you for doing that, too.
Well, thank you. I loved it. I really did. But every time we had to make budget cuts, every business manager came to the schools and talked to teachers and staff, and they said, well, the biggest expenditure we have is on teachers. Mm-hmm. Well, of course it is. But that's always where they wanted to start making the cuts, is at teachers. And so I just ask you to really think about that. And I know that student numbers are down in schools all across the United States, or Wyoming. So, but just, you know, I'm one of those teachers you paid to kind of go away and enjoy my retirement. But I might have teachers there with my grandkids. So please consider teachers. My other question, though, is, I've attended a lot of school board meetings, and I find them to be rather cryptic. You'll talk about a measure, then give it a number, and then who's in favor, who's against, and any discussion. And people who are sitting in your audience don't even know what you're talking about. So my request is that you somehow make your communication easier for people who are not in the school system. And my question is, how can you do that as a school board?
Okay, I think probably that's a question for each candidate.
Well, I have also attended those school board meetings and think the same thing. And I think part of it, if I understand correctly, that there's a work session the Wednesday before, and that's when they go through a lot of those policy numbers. And I think maybe just adding a brief summary of what policy 1, 2, 3 is and why we're voting on it might be a way to do that. However, not being in that situation, I don't know. But I agree with you that it is hard to sometimes follow what they're looking at and talking about.
But some maybe just as simple as a brief description of the policy and why we're voting on it, and just more transparency within the board meeting coming back from what was discussed at the work session.
Thank you.
So I just heard tonight that, you know, and I just found this out, that when you look at the school website, it actually isn't on there that we have work sessions. So we need to get that on there. We need the public to know that. The public is welcome because it's an open session, and we are going to discuss the topics that are going to come up. I'm not a Facebook person, but maybe they need to put it on Facebook. And so to answer your other question about the teachers and stuff, so about 83% of our budget goes to salaries and benefits. We've talked about upping that a little bit, but no, if you up that to 85 or 86%, you have to cut somewhere else. And so I'm sorry to hear that they come and they want to cut the teachers, whatever that may be, whether you're going to, you know, go through attrition or whatever, because there are other places that there's probably some fat that we could trim.
I kind of forgot what you had asked. I'm sorry.
How can you make the public more aware of
yes.
the school board meeting?
Like Anita said, too, I recently went to the last school board meeting, and I have to tell you, I was lost. I thought, wow, I'm not sure what's going on here, but knowing tonight, I found out as well that the work sessions are open and they need to be probably advertised better for people, because sometimes I think that it's hard to find that information, and I'm not a Facebooker either, Dave, so it's if I don't know about it from someone else, so I don't know how to get that information out better to the public, but that's probably something that the board needs to figure out, because you guys do need to be informed.
Well, I often joke, over 20 years in surveying, that what I really do is translate engineer into contractor. And so I spent a little bit of time trying to take some of these really complicated projects and break them down into something that we can, you know, get started with and get on the ground. So I want to try to take that same trick. And once I learn the school board speak well enough, try to take that and translate it out. But getting the meetings out and publicly noticed would help a lot. I know that I struggle figuring out when things are happening and how to get there. So I think we can do far better on the website, whether Facebook could help or not. I honestly don't think that many people use it anymore. But it's some form of online would help, I think, a little bit. And then a little more notice on the website and some public notices, you know. I'll get to the schools pretty often. Most of the community is going to go by there soon, so we can post them up on a notice board.
I would agree across the board. Mostly, I do think that it would help. We, as a parent, since Mr. Oski has been with us, I feel like our communication overall has been a lot better. Receiving the information as a parent, I think it would be just as easy to shoot your little text messaging reminders or whatever that there's a school board meeting, that the work sessions are this day, and not everybody is on social media, and not everyone navigates websites well, as I'm learning on my other job. So I just transparency and communication.
Thank you.
We can teach over Zoom that maybe the school board.
Tell me that again.
Well, if we can teach with Zoom, why can't we put, and the cemetery district has their meetings on Zoom, and then why not put the board on Zoom? Okay. I want the other people to watch it.
So we did have our school board meetings. There was a camera in the room, and we have them. Jan or Charles, I don't think we have that anymore, but I'm not sure.
They
still are?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
Okay. So since I've been in this position, all board meetings have been virtual, and every board meeting or work session is through WorkOps. We can do a better job of educating people how they get to that, but the work session is there, the next board agenda will be out, but everything has been virtual, with the exception out, or there's a technical issue, but for the most part, the regular board meetings are recorded.
And I would be remiss if I didn't point out that 307net Radio diligently records that, and that's also the audio is also available for you to listen to at any time, anywhere, anytime you like.
And then I also do an interview with 307net Radio and the Buffalo Bulletin to try to keep everybody informed of what's happening in the district.
I just wanted to add, because I use this every month, that you can go to the website and go through the board link that's in there, and you can find the agenda, and you can expand that agenda out, and a lot of the information that you're asking about is there.
Yes.
So if they have, okay, this is policy such and such, it'll have a description of what it is.
But with that, you might put out a tutorial how to find it, because it took me a while the first time.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? No. Well, thank you very much indeed, candidates, and thank you, audience. With this, I will close the final forum from 307net Radio's general election coverage, and good luck to you all.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Okay, you can get out of here.